This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. The last time we spoke with Audie Cornish, she had just been promoted from the ranks of reporter to fill the big shoes of Leanne Hansen as host of NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday. But things changed very quickly for Audie and for NPR listeners.
Just a few months after Cornish's first promotion, she became one of the hosts of All Things Considered when Michelle Norris stepped down from day-to-day news work. In the time since she came to NPR from Boston's WBUR, Cornish has covered everything from politics to natural disasters.
Cornish was in Milwaukee not long ago to speak at WUWM's Edward R. Murrow event, and she joined us in the studio then as well. Audie, welcome back to the show.
Such a pleasure to actually talk to you in person.
Yes, thank you. I almost meet so many people because I talk to them through lines and studios far away and on phone lines and sometimes by iPhone. So to see someone face-to-face is really great.
To actually breathe the same air.
Yeah. It's very different feel, any kind of interview when you're face-to-face with someone.
I completely agree. And I want to start there with that interview process. Just before we turned on the microphones, you were saying how strange it is to be on the other side of the desk. For you, when you are sitting where I'm sitting and you are asking somebody questions, how do you approach an interview? What makes a good interview in your mind?
Oh, those are two different questions. I know in terms of approaching an interview, you know, the show is called All Things Considered, and they actually take that really seriously. I probably should have paid closer attention to that description when I took the job because the range of things that you'll do in a day is just really so, so wide. And so sometimes you sit down to talk with someone and you're about to talk to them about something happening in a war zone or in a natural disaster area. And then half an hour later, you have to talk to someone else, you know, about some sort of like fun or jokey thing. Or maybe you have to talk to an artist, a movie actor or a singer. And so you have to really switch gears. So a lot of what I do to prep mentally is just to figure out the tone. At this moment, nothing else matters except the person in front of me. And what should the tone of this conversation be? And I try not to bring in I don't bring the sad stuff into the happy rooms and the happy stuff into the sad rooms. And I also come at interviews thinking about what is the main question that needs to be answered. If there's only one question, if I can only talk to this person for 2 minutes, what's the one thing I have to ask? There's lots of things I want to ask, but usually there's only one that you have to. And I really try and get to that question. Sometimes you build up to it. Sometimes you start with it. But I try and make sure I don't leave the room without getting the answer to it.
You talk about tone. And you, the last time we spoke, you had just taken over for Weekend Edition Sunday, which is a very different tone from All Things Considered, even though it's the same parent organization. How was that transition?
Let's see. Well, you know, it's funny. I went from hard news covering the politics and covering politics and the campaign trail to Weekend Edition, which was and still is an arts and culture show. Though under Rachel Martin, I think people have probably noticed a really strong kind of news magazine feel, really strong on the journalism. And she brings a lot to that. And I think that to switch gears again to All Things Considered, it just meant that I basically am doing the same job, but the cycle of interviews is just shorter and faster. So with reporting, you kind of take your time. You're getting the story. You're gathering from many sources, and then you write. It's this longer process in a way. And then with Weekend Edition, you have a handful of days leading up to Sunday morning or Saturday morning that you're, again, preparing and or recording interviews. And then all of a sudden, you're at All Things Considered and you do 4 or 5 of those interviews in a day. You know, most of our pre-production time comes in the early afternoon between noon and 3. So those people that you're trying to reach in Nepal or in the Ukraine or just some senator who's really hard to pin down, you will record those interviews before the show. And then you'll have stuff during the show that's live. But it just means you're kind of constantly – you have like the life cycle of a fruit fly in terms of like coming up to speed, doing an interview, you know, putting that aside, starting again,
well,
getting
shifting
up to speed.
Gears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So – and I think it's been really eye-opening and educational to work alongside someone like Robert Siegel or Melissa Block. They've just been doing it for a long time and – Melissa Block is a fantastic journalist and reporter and made the kind of transition that I've been making the last couple of years seamlessly. Similarly with like Steve Inskeep, you know, another person who was a beat reporter and really is just shining right now in Morning Edition. So there's lots of people to look up to and kind of get advice on, yeah, how do you switch gears? How do you make it work and how do you make it so that the listener is there with you, you know?
You mentioned also before we turned on the microphones the idea that someone like Robert Siegel invented the host at NPR. I mean, they didn't learn from somebody else. They sort of created it. And you're coming in and you and other younger hosts are looking to them, but also I would imagine trying to find your way into it and making it your own, not just being a copycat.
Right, right. And even Robert came in after Susan Sandberg, right? I mean, talk about just an amazing interviewer and person with whose writing style is just so distinctive and lovely. I think that one thing that we've benefited from is that there is a very collegial atmosphere at NPR, and I think that is something we are inheriting from the first generation of hosts. You know, when I took over for Leanne Hansen just for that short time, she had been only the second host of the show in its 35 or so years, and she was absolutely generous and giving and just all the advice you ever wanted to have. You know, I shadowed a lot of people before I ever got onto a microphone. You know, I filled in for Farai Chidea at the wonderful News and Notes before that show was canceled, and worked at Weekend All Things Considered with Guy Raz, who's just, you know, a few years older than me. And I think I never really felt like the kind of competition I think that is required and is healthy in some other mediums like TV, you know, where you're really fighting for airtime. For us, I think the atmosphere is much more about, we know this is kind of a hard gig and we want you to succeed. And it's to our benefit and our listeners want that as well. And I think that has been just what makes the job amazing. You know, if I really would have wanted to do this job if I didn't feel that kind of embrace, because I would have felt like, well, I can be a reporter and I love reporting. You know, why would I
go under that pressure?
Yeah, why would I put myself under that? And it doesn't feel that way, which is nice.
Do you think the fact that there are more of you coming up and younger hosts, that it's changing the sound of NPR, and if so, to the better?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Well, first of all, I think people should look at the introduction of new voices as what it is, which is just healthy, forward thinking, you know, embracing the people that come up through the system. And I think that newsrooms that don't encourage their younger generation, and this is at any newsroom, if you don't encourage that, people will leave. Right? They will go and work at papers. They will go work at TV. They will go work for the web. They will not see any point to hanging around public radio if they're never going to get to do the thing that they're getting into the business to do. So it's not a generational thing of like, when are these boomers going to go? You know, it's more like, you know, I grew up with this and I want to be a part of it and I want to honor it. And it's about management kind of having the foresight to say, yeah, let's encourage that. Because we want people to see a future here. I don't know about how the sound changes. I think that's something that the listener has to tell us. There are people who think the sound isn't changing fast enough. There are people who think that it is too much too soon in certain hours of the day or certain subject matter that maybe they're not that interested in. You know, one of the things about NPR – this is family, right? We've been listening to some of these voices for a very long time. And so I'm not ready for anyone to go.
Yeah.
You know, like, period. I wasn't ready for Leanne to go. I wasn't ready for Neil Conan to go. I wasn't ready to let go any of these voices who were my friends coming out of the radio. And I mean that as a listener, not that I'm like their personal buddies. So I think that the listener is helping us decide that. I think the world of podcasting and all the sort of young and really productive and ingenious producers who have flocked to that world are showing us how the sound can be different. And I think the larger the public radio ecosystem, the better.
There's something about that voice in your ear, I think. There's something about somebody telling you a story that never gets old.
It's not just that. I mean, my theory on this, and everyone bear with me if you've heard this already, but, you know, what other voice do you hear over the course of your day in this fidelity? Maybe a spouse? You know, maybe you roll over in bed and talk to someone briefly, or before you kiss your child goodnight, or maybe you talk to your dog. You know, you talk to everyone at a distance, at least in this culture, right? In the U.S. culture, people keep a respectful distance. And I don't do that. Every afternoon, I get in the car with you and tell you what happened today, or laugh at something too loud, or, you know, make a joke with someone that I probably shouldn't have. And I do all that, like, in your ear. God forbid if you're wearing headphones. My apologies right now. So I think that it's the storytelling, yes, that's very primal, but it's also how we do it. You know, I think the sound of NPR is much parodied because it's also much loved.
And it's so powerful.
Yeah.
These are expensive
mics.
They are.
The headphones
not so much.
String. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we're not messing around here.
In the time that you've been on the ATC desk, what do you think was the biggest lesson you had to learn?
Oh, my gosh. I would say the thing I had to really learn very quickly was how to prioritize. And there's a wonderful support staff there, obviously, this producers and editors. I mean, the number of people, you know, upwards of 20 people are putting together the show every day, those 2 hours. And when you first do it, you're like, I want to do everything myself. You know, I want to write every single thing that comes in front of me. I want to go on the internet and call the library and do research packets for each interview I'm doing today, even though there's 5 interviews. And I think I had to learn fairly quickly that, like, okay, that's not a good use of your time. Like, let the intern collect the research on Chechnya. Like, let them do that. It's okay. You know?
Let go.
Yeah, let go. You know, maybe the editor is going to write this introduction and you're going to have to figure out how to read it in a way that sounds natural to you, or you're going to have to do some rewriting on the fly. But, like, you cannot do everything. And I think that that's one thing that's intimidating when you come up behind like a Robert or a Guy Raz or a Renee Montaigne. It's like these people, they can do a lot of this stuff and they can do it on the fly, and they're so fast, you know, because they've been just doing it longer and are familiar with the rhythms and language of the show. For me, I had never worked on a show until I was host of one. You know, it's actually pretty unusual. Like, lots of people at NPR worked in one capacity or another. Linda Wertheimer was, I think, the first director of All Things Considered. So even the buttons and music and stuff like that, like, she helped kind of, you know, she's in the DNA of the program. So, yeah, she's going to write a billboard like 10 times faster than I ever could. And I think it's been – I've had to learn to just kind of embrace the infrastructure and embrace all of the really wonderful staff and the work that they do. And I think I've become much more team oriented after being a solo.
Well, you were a reporter for
so
long.
I mean, being a reporter is just you hack away like a mad scientist by yourself. And all of a sudden you are on a team with a capital T when you work on a show. It's just the only way it can be done.
I wanted to wrap up with maybe a lighter-hearted question. Are there any stories or any types of stories that if you never had to do them again, you would be so happy?
Oh, you know, not anymore. I think when I first started, I was like, I don't care about animals. You know, like each host or reporter has some weird bugaboo, something that they think they're not that interested in. And I think the thing that has really made my job such a joy and a privilege is that because we are considering so many things, I have discovered I do have interest in a lot of things. And I've discovered that my curiosity is actually what got me the job, because you have moments where you're like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I'm not Robert Siegel. And then you realize, like, actually, it's not really about being the smartest person in the room. It is about being the most curious. And it's about really listening. Some of the greatest interviewers I love, like Michelle Martin, are people who just – they are such sharp listeners. And they can hear something someone says in a question and they're, like, surgical in their follow-up. That's what I aspire to be. And I think that I don't have any – I'd be lying now if I said, oh, there's things I don't want to do. You know, there's things maybe I'm a little intimidated by. There's things that I worry about that I need to study more. But I do feel more now like I still will have questions, you know. And in fact, the less I know, the better, the more questions I'll have. So that's kind of how I go at the job. I know not everyone does that. A lot of people actually know more stuff. but I just work the curiosity angle.
I think it's better to ask the questions and let your guests tell you.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
And also, you ask the question that the listener is asking, you know, in the car, ideally. Like, I don't always do this, but I feel like when I'm doing my job right, I ask the thing that everyone's saying, well, what about that? And then, like, the next thing out of my mouth should be that question, basically. And sometimes if you know too much about a thing, you don't do it because you're like, oh, that's obvious. And of course, it's only obvious to you who spent all day thinking about it. So I try very hard to just keep the listener in mind.
Well, Audie Cornish, it is such a pleasure to have you sitting across the desk from me today, and I cannot thank you enough for talking with us.
Thank you so much for your interest, and thank you so much to the station for having me. I appreciate it.
Audie Cornish is host of NPR's All Things Considered. She's held that role since the fall of 2011 after a brief stint hosting Weekend Edition Sunday and positions as reporter for NPR and before that WBUR in Boston. She spoke with us while she was in Milwaukee to speak at WUWM's Edward R. Murrow event.